This is the final study in our series. We've covered separation by contrast, separation by compassion, and separation by commandment, separation by choice. Adam and Eve chose to sin. Satan didn't make them sin. In the end, it was an act of self-will. Tonight, this is going to be our final Bible study on separation. And the Parents Television Council is a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating parents about TV content. That's its purpose. They did a study in 2012, and they gave the results of nakedness on two seasons of television from 2010 to 2011, and then 2011 to 2012. So I realize this is about 4 years old. TV nudity was compared between these two seasons, 2010, 2011, and 2011 and 2012. There was significant increases in each season in all of the categories that they compared. I'll just give you two. In 2010 and 2011, there was 15 instances of full nakedness in 14 shows. That was 2010 to 2011. In 2011 and 2012, there were 76 instances of on 37 shows of full nakedness. That's an increase in one season of 407%. 400%. Listen to this. 70% of the 37 shows aired prior to 9 p.m., and that's what we call prime time. If it's before 9 o'clock, it's prime time. 70% in 2011, 2012 of that nakedness was in prime time. That tells me that the intentions of the producers are very clear. Are very clear. In another category, and I won't name it, but in another category, in 2010 and 2011, there was one instance of this in that one season. In the next season, there was a 6,300% increase from the first season to the other. They did that. What they showed one time in this category, they showed 6,300 times more in the next season. And every category that they looked at, every category, whether it was nakedness here or nakedness there or this happening, every category increased with every season. And I think since 2012, it probably hasn't gotten any better. I'll just make a statement. What is a Christian doing watching Games of Thrones or whatever? And no, I haven't watched it, and I'm not going to watch it. What's a Christian doing watching that? That's filth. There are so many shows out now that are targeting, that are out to do that and literally destroying the moral fiber. And yet I hear Christians talking about these shows that, and then you know, you type in the rating on it, and then you see what their emphasis is. There was something, I don't know. There's a whole lot of filth out there. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I've been shocked at what I've heard Christians say they talk about watching. Things that honestly have no business in our home, no business at all, and it's a disgrace. This is public TV programming. This is not cable. This isn't Showtime, HBO, Sin to the Max, or any of that other stuff. This is public TV programming. Prime time, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, and all the other, that's what this is. When you listen to that in the light of Jeremiah 6, just listen, verse number 15, it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." Neither could they blush. When I read Jeremiah 7:12, God says, "Go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." God says they got to that point, and God says, "I spanked them for it. Look at how I punished them for their wickedness." We can learn a lot about that. This is important because of what we learned last week in our Bible study, separation by curse. Genesis 2:25 says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they weren't ashamed. Then Genesis 3:7 says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they'd sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They gained, between chapter 2:25 and 3:7, they gained a sin nature that made them ashamed of their nakedness. They knew evil. They didn't know evil like God knew it. And I told you, God knows evil like the doctor who offers the cure for the sickness. Adam and Eve knew evil like the cancer patient that has the sickness and is dying from it. There's knowing sin like God knows it because of His knowledge, and then there's knowing sin experimentally, and that's how we know it. Now, man needs a covering because of sin. The reason people need to cover today is because of sin. Before sin, there was no reason for a covering. Now that there is sin, they know that they're supposed to cover up. From Genesis 3, all throughout the rest of the Bible, nakedness has always been a symbol of Satan's effect on mankind. Clothing has always been a symbol of God's effect on mankind. Now, that's far as a review there, and if I told you just a little bit more. See, this is Adam and Eve in their fallen condition were embarrassed about their nakedness, and they immediately made an attempt to cover up. They now have a sin nature and they're embarrassed. And this has nothing to do with Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. This isn't talking about Hebrews 13. This is talking about public nakedness. This is talking about public nakedness. It's not talking about Hebrews 13. The people who can be naked and not ashamed and have overcome the natural, reasonable shame that comes with nakedness are perverted. They're perverted. This says a lot about our nation that is overrun with people who are willing and anxious to publicly show their nakedness. This is not an age of enlightenment. This is an age of perversion. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7 there, I'm just going to point a few things out tonight. First of all, there was a problem in the covering that Adam and Eve made. There was a problem in Adam and Eve trying to do it themselves. The bottom line issue was, here we go, God's standard was different than Adam and Eve's standard. We'll see that here in just a second, but God's standard was different than their standard. There's two major differences in God's standard and man's standard. In Genesis 3, it says, verse 7, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves an apron. In verse 21, God had to clothe them and make coats, and made coats of skins to clothe them with. The first difference was what was required to make the covering. The first difference is this. Adam and Eve used fig leaves. God used skins. Fig leaves are an offering, and that is what Adam did. Skins require sacrifice, and that's what God did. You see, God hasn't changed. Adam brought an offering, and God performed a sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. In the next chapter, chapter 4, Cain is going to bring what? Vegetables. That is a symbol of a offering. But what did Abel bring? A sacrifice. What one did God accept? He didn't accept the offering. He accepted the sacrifice. That is all through your Bible. You see, there was a huge difference in what was required for the covering. Man made an offering of fig leaves. God sacrificed an innocent animal to cover Adam and to cover Eve. God's standard was higher. God's standard was higher. The second difference is what the clothes covered, what was actually covered in Genesis 3:7 and Genesis 3:21. Now, it says here they used fig leaves and made themselves aprons. And I don't think anybody, I know they have aprons that tie up this way, come down, and then go down. But the general thinking on an apron is it goes across the waist. They take it and they tie it and it goes across the waist, and if it's a deluxe apron, it comes all the way up. But I don't think anybody needs a dictionary to know what the word apron is. A similar word in your King James Bible is the word girdle for apron. It was like a loincloth or a belt, something to cover the waist and the loin area. Adam and Eve made aprons to cover that part of their body. Then When you read Genesis 3:21, God says, "And Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." If the fig leaf aprons were sufficient, then God would not have had to make the coats to cover them. Right? I don't think we're doing a disservice to the Scripture to say that the fig leaves did not cover them up enough to satisfy God. So God says, "No, that's your way of doing it, but I must be satisfied. I must be satisfied." So God clothed them and covered them to His satisfaction. The fig leaves only covered so much. God came and clothed them with coats, and then God was satisfied that their nakedness was covered. You see, to us, it should matter what satisfies man and what satisfies God. My opinion is that independent Baptists have always took a strong stand on separation and stood for biblical standards because God shows us in His Word what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And we're watching all of this being put aside and wiped away. Brother Ms. Chrysostom pointed out to me tonight, a lot of churches are only open now on Sunday morning. I knew some of the big ones were. I just didn't think a lot of, it's just us, Patuxent, and I think Victory are the only ones that really have services on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I think that's sad. I would think as God tells us to meet more and more as we get closer to Jesus coming, not less and less, Hebrews 10:25. Many things are being dropped because bigger, more influential, larger churches are going a different direction and saying it's not really an important issue now. We can negate it and focus on other things. Many bigger churches have changed their opinions on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. They have charted a different course, and now people are, well, they don't dress like that anymore. They don't wear clothes like that anymore. And when I hear talk like that, I want to say, where'd you get your convictions from? Another church? Who sets the standard? Another church? I don't care what another church does. I care what my church does. I want my church to stand on the Word of God. I want a biblically based church. I don't want a church that's following, name any big church in the area. I don't care. I would hope that would be most Christians. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks that way. Amen. I think there's more people in our church that think that way. Who determines your standards? Where do you get the principles by which you live? By some influential church? Your feelings and opinions? Or the Bible? Everybody has standards, but who is setting the standards you live by? Who? Who sets the standards? Who determines right from wrong in your life? For some, it was never a conviction. It's just the way that they fit in with a crowd. For some, it never was a conviction. It was just what, well, that's what independent Baptists do. For some, it never was a Bible standard. It was just an opinion of the pastor. And when you change churches, you change your convictions. That, to me, is weak Christianity. When I knock on a door and I hear somebody say, "Oh yeah, we used to go to an independent Baptist church." Well, where do you go now? Well, we go to some of this Southern Baptist church here. Do you not know the difference? So you left an independent, autonomous Baptist church. I didn't say every one of them's good either. I know things and everything's changing now. But when people say, "Well, I used to believe that because I went to this church, but now I believe it because I go to this church," the church isn't supposed to set your standards. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the truth. It holds up the truth. It doesn't determine truth. It preaches truth, but it holds it up. As far as, and I'm going, you mean you believed one thing when you were at one church and you believed another thing? That is weak. That is a weak, unfounded Christianity. And I would fight against that, and I would stand against that. A good Christian is not concerned with what satisfies man. A good Christian, a strong Christian, is concerned with what satisfies God. Listen closely to this verse. "If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Galatians 1:10. If I served men, I no longer serve Christ. If men determine what I believe, that I am no longer following the Lord. I'm following men. Well, when I went to this church, I believed this, and when I went to this church, I believed this. It's disturbing to me. Adam and Eve's fig leaves did not satisfy God. God clothed them. because they were not clothed by the aprons. God had a higher standard. Man's idea of nakedness and God's idea of nakedness have been different since the beginning of time. This is not some new thing that IFBers, it's all over Facebook. Oh, you're an IFBer, an Independent Fundamental Baptister. I don't like Facebook, although I think there's some good that can come out of it, like I think good can come out of everything, but those IFBers. Oh, are you an IFBer? They asked some college students at a Bible college, what does IFBer mean? It means you're saved by grace. Even the students that we're sending to Bible college now don't even know what it means to be an Independent Fundamental Baptist. And that's sad to me. IFBers. This is not some new thing that IFBers have created so that they can holler about something. It's been an issue since the beginning of time. What satisfied and pleased man has always been different than what satisfied and pleased God. There's always been a difference there. Now, the difference between the apron and the coat. Number one, the sacrifices they represented, and number two, the skin they covered. Here we go. The sacrifice they represented. What I wear, listen closely, what I wear does more than just cover or not cover the appropriate amount of skin. Listen closely. What I wear speaks of either my sinfulness or my salvation. It has nothing to do with my salvation, but what I wear speaks of my sinfulness or my salvation. If I don't wear enough to cover the appropriate amount of skin, emphasizes my sinfulness. God said the aprons don't work because they reveal your nakedness, which speaks of your sin. That's why they were ashamed. There's shame in sin. Oh no, we're uncovered. Where you should feel that way. Why? Because you have a sin nature. If I cover my skin appropriately, listen, it speaks or testifies of my salvation. It doesn't make me lost or saved. I am by no means right now talking about working your way to heaven. I'm not talking about, what I'm talking about is the testimony of your clothing as a child of God. If I'm saved, I should want to emphasize the fact of my salvation and not my sinfulness. My wife and I went to the store yesterday and, man, help us. The things you see in the store. I mean, if you want to see the pillars of society, go to Walmart. we were at Food Lion, and I'm not kidding. This lady was so scantily clad. I mean, literally, I'm holding my wife's hand as we walk into the store, and she turns around, and I thought disaster was coming, okay? But then she did, and I was like, I looked at my wife and said, oh my goodness. She goes, honey, she could read your lips. I said, she dressed that way for people to look. You know what I mean? And it didn't look good either. If it was right, it wasn't right for her. You know what I mean? I'm just saying it was gross. It was yucky. Somebody called the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. All I'm saying is it's just absolutely amazing. God said that the aprons didn't work because they reveal your nakedness, which speaks of your sin. Clothes say a whole lot. Clothing makes a huge statement. See, here's what the liberals are saying. The Bible doesn't have anything to say about clothing. And to me, that is a stupid, humanistic, really dumb statement. The Bible does too have a lot to say about clothing. Yes, it does have a lot to say about clothing. Here's the big question now. You ready? When I am covered, where's the line between enough clothes and not enough? Where is the line between what is appropriate and what is inappropriate when it comes to clothing? When am I covered enough and when am I not covered enough? When? Now, I believe God put it in His Word, what satisfy Him, and praise the Lord, He didn't leave us to figure it out for ourselves. Let's take our Bible and look at, I think, some verses that you already know. But go to Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. Exodus 28, and look at verse number 42. Here God is speaking, Exodus 28, 42. Here God is speaking about the priest's garments and what they would wear in the temple. And thou shalt make them linen breeches. In our modern day word would be breeches, the same way. Breeches, same thing. to cover their nakedness. And then God is going to say what a man's nakedness is. From their loins, from the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. Where are the loins? Look up the definition of the word loin. And it's from the bottom of the rib cage to the hip. Look up the word thigh. What is the word thigh? From the bend of the hip to the bend of the knee. To the bend of the knee. Wherever the knee bends, this is the thigh and this is the loins. Now, God said, I want the priest to wear breeches or breeches to cover. God didn't want the men's thighs to be uncovered. And watch this. Don't take it too far. God didn't say the whole leg. He said the thigh. I want the thigh covered. Otherwise, it's naked and it's shameful. God tells them how to dress. Now take your Bible and go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. This is a verse you ought to have marked in your Bible and you ought to think about it and look at it. Isaiah 47 and look at verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 47, verse 2 and 3. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. God is telling them, I'm going to judge you. They're going to take you from Jerusalem over to Babylon, and when you cross over the river, I'm going to make you lift up your dress and expose the thigh, and the shame is going to show that I am spanking you, and I, as God's people, I'm chastising you, and that sign, God says, I'm going to expose your thigh, which is going to uncover your nakedness. Your nakedness. God said in two places, what showed the nakedness was not the whole leg, but it was the thigh. God said when the thigh is uncovered, your nakedness is uncovered. God said this, so we don't have to worry or fuss about it. All right, so I think everybody understands that. If you'll just mark down a verse, I don't want to really read it, but if you'll mark down Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23. It's over a couple of books. It's lengthy, but in the first couple of verses, it's a little awkward to read in mixed company, but it speaks, this is Ezekiel 23. It speaks very clearly and intimately about the chest and the breast area having intimate meanings. It speaks of the chest and the breast area having an intimate significance. And here in Ezekiel 23, when they're judged, God says that part of their body is made bare for the shame of it. But that's Ezekiel 23. Now, listen closely. I believe it is safe for a person to be properly clothed. They should be covered from the shoulders to the knees. You say, where'd you get that? That's not my opinion. That is God's. I believe that is taught in the Bible. I believe that is God's standard. From the shoulders to the knees should be covered. I don't believe this is just for females. I believe this is for male and female. I think this is for all ages, old and young. I believe what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're wondering about this, how come on the news channels they show a guy, a woman, and a guy, and if they're sitting on that couch while they're doing the morning interviews or whatever, they don't have a news lady that doesn't show her thigh. They don't. If you find one, glory to God, I don't suggest you look for them, okay? I don't suggest you do that, but the old statement goes this way, sex sells. And if you're going to put the blonde out there, or the bombshell, or the seller, or the one that upped the ratings so people watch the show, then you got to have her show a little skin, and she's going to do what? The skirt's going to come up, and they're going to show more of the thigh. That's to up the ratings. That's why, personally, I would rather read the news than listen to it if it's in that type of a setting. And no, I don't enjoy that on Fox or anything else like that. This is God's standard. From the shoulders to the knees are supposed to be covered. This is something I believe every preacher would preach if he believes the Word of God. This is nothing that's unique to our church. This isn't anything that's unique to Gospel Light. This is something that is biblical and God put it there and it's always been there. Now, I don't have chapter and verse for this, but I'm just going to expound on this a little bit. From the shoulders to the knees, God says is nakedness and is supposed to be covered. I am uncomfortable, and once again, I don't have chapter and verse for it, but I don't like sleeveless outfits on ladies. I don't like that. Now, I didn't say it was sinful, and but that personally, I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't like it. I don't like it. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Okay, can we go a different direction here? Are you ready? What would our church service look like if all the men walked in with sleeveless outfits? That'd be disgusting. Some guys have got hair. I'm not talking here. I'm talking right there. I mean, they could sand walls if they are up against walls. I mean, it's gross. You say, that'd be a disturbing church. Well, if we wouldn't let the guys do it, and if we'd say, you say, well, it's prettier when the women do it. I don't think that needs to be seen. And once again, I don't have chapter and verse for it. I'm talking to you now as a preacher. When we have a choir someday, I'm just going to say, ladies, I don't think you need to be wearing, if you're up front and everybody's looking at you, I don't think you need to be wearing sleeveless outfits. I think when they raise their arm, I think too much is exposed. I just think that ought to be covered. Now that's me, and I realize the standard that I think we understand God says is from the shoulders to the knees. To the knees. Now if some lady says, well, you shouldn't think a woman's shoulders are pretty. Look, become a guy for 6 months, then come back, tell me how you did. Okay? It's pretty hard. That's all I'll tell you. It's very difficult. Guys have to fight to keep a clean mind. It does not happen naturally. It happens because you work at it. Amen? And I shouldn't have said that either, because now we're in transgender area. Do not become a guy for 6 months and then come back and see me. That was an illustration. Do you understand? At any rate, yeah, I realize the day and age we're living in. Ready? If I was talking about anything about adding faith for salvation, that is legalism. I'm not talking about adding water, wafer, or works to salvation. This isn't legalism at all. Anytime someone uses two words, legalist and Baptist brighter, I have learned that they don't know what it means. They're fearmongers who use it to capitalize on ignorance. Legalist is somebody that adds something to salvation, not somebody that has rules and standards. Not somebody that says, the Bible tells me how to dress. The Bible tells me what not to say. There's words I'm not supposed to speak. And the Bible tells me what sets my standards. What I'm talking to you about tonight is sanctification and holiness for a Christian. Being set apart to God, to the glory of God, that people are just literally abandoning. To dress less, covered, shows our nakedness and speaks of our sinfulness. To be covered with clothes, that speaks of salvation. One pastor had a standard. I don't think a lady ought to be showing cleavage. I don't think that that's good. Now it's plunging necklines and everything else. I think the ladies ought to have a standard. I don't know what yours is, but you ought to have your own standard. I know my wife's is 4 fingers from the collarbone. She puts her fingers up there, and if it goes beyond that point, it's a no-go. And then she runs it past me. We're a team. She always says, "Hun, what do you think of this?" Past my standard. Now, what do you think of that? She'll buy sometimes the dresses that are low, and then she'll put fabric in there. But it goes up to her standard. It's not so you don't, you know, you're not out in public. I think there's parts of your body that only your spouse is supposed to see. Say it's old fashioned. I don't think so. I think that's decency. There's parts of your body that only your spouse is supposed to see. Everybody else is not supposed to see it. Hosea chapter 2, verse 9. We'll get into the practical part here in just a second. Therefore will I return and take my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will cover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Wool is fabric. Flax is fabric. Fabric was given by God to cover their nakedness. God gave us clothes to cover our nakedness, which emphasizes our salvation. Christians, are you ready? Ought to keep their clothes on. If you're a saved child of God, you should have biblical standards for your clothing. I remember when in the Christian schools, sometimes some Christian schools, the basketball players, their shorts had come up to here. And I didn't mind pitching a fit. I was like, if we expect our ladies to cover their thighs, then the guys ought to cover their thighs on the basketball court too. Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Bring it down, you know, if there's anything the brothers have done with basketball is lengthen the shorts for basketball. Amen. That was a good thing. Because I remember when they were too short. All right, too short. So you say, how should I dress? How should I dress? Number one, I wish you'd just ask the question. When you get dressed, just ask the question, am I pleasing God or am I pleasing myself? Am I showing my salvation or my sinfulness? Am I drawing attention to myself or am I drawing attention to my Savior? Number one, dress to glorify God. God says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What's the word glorify mean? It means to make God look good. Is what I'm wearing, does that make God look good? I think running around in colored underwear does not glorify God. I don't think when Abraham was called Lord by his wife Sarah, he was laying on the couch in his underwear scratching. I don't think you ought to be running around in your house improperly clothed. I don't think brothers ought to be seeing sisters or sisters ought to be seeing brothers or anything. When you go to the bathroom, you're fully clothed. When you come out, you're fully clothed. Or at least the part that God says cover. But just while we're at home, so we all walk around in our underwear. But you'd be shocked. And watch this, incest rate's too high. 1 out of every 3 homes. 1 out of every 3 homes. No, I suggest we go with Leviticus 18. That's my next point here. Here we go. Why, if you want to go right up to the edge of the line, that's your prerogative. But I don't think you ought to live in the area of your clothing like you would not live in any other area of your life. If you wouldn't go into a nightclub or a tavern to buy a burger, or if you wouldn't listen to borderline music, then I suggest your clothes not be right on the line. When we have, if a lady sings up here, I think if they're lifted up, I think the dress naturally has to be a little bit longer. Or people that are seated can see part of her thigh when it comes just right to the knee. So when we do have specials up here, I'll say, hey, make sure that your dress is long enough. Amen. You know what I mean? To do what? So it's not a distraction. Amen. Okay, but that's just because they're lifted up. That's not talking about coming, you know what I mean, as far as that, just understanding where the line is. Number two, dress to testify of your salvation. Did you know your salvation is supposed to shine to all men? Matthew 5 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I am interested in covering enough of me to testify of my salvation. You don't have to, look, you don't have to dress weird to be a Christian. You don't have to look like you're wearing a potato sack. Do you understand? You don't have to look like, when we were over in Turkey, Turkey was a desolate place, and when we did ops over there, I'll never forget what all of the, we drove through 3 towns and we're in the Jeep there kind of looking, bless their hearts, I didn't see one that wasn't so wrinkled you couldn't screw her hat on. I mean, it was just, I mean, and I know it's a rough country over there and tough, but every one of them, bless their hearts, I just praised God for America as I saw it. But I mean, it was, they literally dress in potato sacks over there and it's rough. I don't think you have to wear a large cross on your shirt, but I do think your clothes speak very loudly about what you believe. Number three, dress to avoid becoming a temptation to somebody else. Women are not moved by what they see as much as men are. Women are moved by touch. Men are moved or emotionally stimulated by sight. Listen closely. Song of Solomon, I'd like you to go to Proverbs chapter 7, but listen to Song of Solomon chapter 7. You go to Proverbs chapter 7. I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. You're going to Proverbs 7 verse 9. So here's the bride saying, I belong to my husband, and his desire is toward me. This is right and it's holy for a husband to want his wife. And here in Song of Solomon 7:10, he's saying, I am my beloved's. She is saying, I belong to him and his desire is toward me. Now look at Proverbs 7 and look at verse number 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. What does the harlot do? The harlot looks to steal from another wife what is rightfully hers, the desire of her husband. And the way she does that, there is an attire. She uses clothing. It's how she dresses with a slit all the way up, because that's what God designed the thigh for. It's only supposed to be seen by husband and wife. It's not supposed to be seen by somebody else. But how come the dresses have the slits all the way up to catch his eye? And with the attire of a harlot, she wants to steal from him what belongs to the wife, the desire of her husband. So she uses her clothing to steal it. Now, I don't think a good Christian lady is out to steal what belongs to another. But ladies, if you follow the world's fashions and fads and let the world set the standards because of what is popular, you can unintentionally do that. If you follow Hollywood and the queers from France, the fashion police, then you're susceptible to that. And I am not saying tonight, I think you ought to be, you shouldn't be stylish. I just think you should be appropriately stylish. I love this statement. I love this statement. I've heard good Christian ladies through the years say it. Be not the first by whom the new is tried, nor the last to lay the old aside. I like that. That's safe. That makes it for safe. That's not people that are like, oh, what's the fashion magazine saying? How long is my hair supposed to be? You know, oh, is it straight in? Is curly in? Or bangs in? Or parted in? You know what I mean? Oh, what's the fashion police say I have to dress like? Who determines your dress standards? Well, I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, 3 years ago, you know, the skirts were, you know, if you wore a skirt, it was supposed to be this high, but now it's down to the ankles, and now it's up here, and whatever there, if you have to have it, I've got to be in fashion. I think you should be stylish. I just think you should be appropriate when you're stylish. You understand? I think there's a way of being appropriate, and I don't think the world has to control you. Here we go, number 4. Dress to show respect to God's principles. I'll just read you these. Psalm 119 verse 6 says, Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Psalm 119 verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I think just dress to show respect for God's principles. Number 5. Show respect for your body. And I've already talked about it, but Leviticus 18, the whole chapter talks about how a family should have mystique and people shouldn't be walking. Leviticus 18. How a family shouldn't be walking around the house in their underwear and stuff like that and unscantily clothed. There ought to be some respect. A child cannot look at the parent immodestly dressed and keep the respect God intended for them. That's why that book by Spock that he printed in the 60s, it damned a whole 2 generations. It teaches the parents, have the kids bathed with the parents to teach them about their sexuality, and it destroys respect. And we've got filled prisons now. No, I totally disagree with that. God says, in your home, Leviticus 18, there should be mystique and respect. Respect, dress to respect your body. And finally, dress to show who you love. Dress to show who you love. And that would be number 6. I believe appropriate dress says this, God loves me, and to some degree I love God enough to be concerned about the clothes that I wear. Pastors are saying nowadays, you can't teach biblical separation anymore, it's going to drive down the attendance. I'm not trying to drive anybody away. I'm not. But I also realize, I know we can't go with the flow and have a church that's scriptural. Because what's happening? Shutting down the services. It's not important anymore. Changing the music. Changing all this. I believe, honestly, I say it again, I'm not the only person here that wants a scriptural church. I'm not supposed to be saying, let's try this. Why don't we try this now? I'm supposed to be doing it God's way. And I believe everybody here wants that. I am not trying to drive anybody away. It's my prayer and dream that the truths that I have the privilege of preaching to some of the greatest people that I've gotten to serve the Lord with grows our people of Gospel Light Baptist Church spiritually. I don't think attendance was supposed to control what I preach about. God says that a sign of a hireling, that's the sign of a hireling and a false prophet, when they're controlled by, your tithes and offerings go down. Well, Jeremiah 2:33 says, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones thy ways. When you got to be a crowd pleaser. Well, I'm just trying to make everybody happy. Can't do that. You can't do that. A pastor, I don't believe, can do that safely at all. There's big name colleges and churches that now say, you can mention modesty, but don't define it. Big name colleges. I mean colleges we send our kids to. You can mention modesty, but don't define it. I defined it this morning in Sunday school. Not all, but many big name colleges are saying this, literally, do not teach any more on biblical standards because our attendance and how many students we have is important. We have to pay the bills. There are lady conferences where the speakers are told this, you're going to talk about inward issues of a lady only, but never teach on anything that deals with the outer. You just hit the inward quality, shamefacedness, sobriety, all those things. Whatever's inward, you can speak on. But you better leave the outside alone. I know that as well as I'm standing here. There have been big lady conferences that have said that. I've got one Bible verse for them. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Cursed. Tonight, the message, the last one, was separation and covering. If you're concerned about what God is satisfied with and what pleases Him, then it shouldn't matter what pleases men. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your love.